Grace, mercy, and peace be unto each of you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is the gospel reading for this day from Luke chapter 11. I read for you again these words. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. And he said to them, I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. So far the reading of the text. In the name of Jesus, the only Savior of the world. As God's people, you know that prayer is an indispensable part of the Christian life. We can't live without it. Not only does God command us to pray, but he also promises to hear and answer. And while we are told to pray without ceasing, and we certainly can and should pray at all times and in all places, it's also good and right to pray at certain times and in certain places. So it's good to pray every morning when we get up, and it's good to pray every evening before we go to sleep. It's good to pray before and after every meal. It's good to pray with the Lord's people in the Lord's house on the Lord's day. In today's gospel, Jesus was praying in a certain place. We hear that Jesus often did this, going off by himself to pray to his heavenly Father. Exactly what he was praying on this occasion, we're not told. And yet, his example made an impression on his disciples, such that they asked him to teach them how to pray. And after teaching them what we call the Lord's Prayer, he also provides encouragement to pray. Now, it's important to realize that God knows your need before you ask for it. He has worked all things for your good, even when the world appears to be a dark, sinister place. Thus, Luther rejoices in God's love and mercy when he writes, "The good and gracious will of God is done even without our prayer. But we pray in this petition that it may be done among us also." And even though St. Luke does not record that petition, it is still good for us to be praying, "Thy will be done." And yet, that's a dangerous prayer because it lets God be God. It tells him that your will is unimportant so long as his is carried out. But does prayer really make any difference? Well, many of you know that it does. And still, if God's will is done even without our prayer, why bother praying at all? It doesn't really make sense. And often, it does seem rather useless. Today's Old Testament lesson doesn't help very much. Here we see Abraham pray boldly, but in our eyes, ineffectually. He begs for mercy for Sodom and Gomorrah, and God listens. But in the end, there were not 10 righteous people within the cities, and so they are wiped from the face of the earth. It's no different for Sodom and Gomorrah than if Abraham hadn't prayed at all. And yet God did listen, didn't he? Abraham begged for mercy for Sodom and Gomorrah. He asked God to save those who trusted in him. And God heard his request. He promised to spare those who trusted him. Abraham learned that even in God's wrath, he desires to shower his mercy on those whom he has redeemed. It's tragic that Sodom and Gomorrah did not desire this mercy, but that's not the fault of Abraham's prayer. Indeed, it's only through his prayer that we know that God's mercy, even for the sake of 10, would have overcome his wrath. Abraham prayed because when your God is one who desires mercy, it's unthinkable not to. What son hesitates to ask his father to play catch? And what father doesn't rejoice when he's asked? It's no different with the silly requests, the ones that seem funny and outrageous when we look back on them. The daughter who asks her parents for a pony might not get one, but the parents aren't upset with her at her for asking. The daughter is saying, "You are my parents. I know that you love me and can provide me with every good thing." The request is a confession of the child's love for and trust of her parents. It's the boldness of a child that our Heavenly Father desires in us. And so he speaks of a man who goes to his neighbor at midnight to get food to provide for his guest. He will receive everything he asks for, not because the person is his friend, but because he was bold to ask. It's the innocence of a child that Jesus describes, and it's just the sort of innocence that's been stolen from us by our sin. We should ask God boldly for all we desire, confident that he will give us all that is for our good, and trusting that when our request is not granted, that we didn't need it anyway. Such simple boldness confesses what we expect from God: mercy, love, provision for all that we need to support this body and life. But sadly, it's not in the asking that we confess what we think about God, but in our silence. We hold back our requests. We consider them futile. We think that they will hit the immutable will of the Almighty God and fall flat. We don't trust his promises. We don't believe that he loves us. We expect our requests to be ignored, so we don't usually bother asking in the first place. It's only the big things we bring to God: cancer, surgery, financial crisis, things we don't think we can handle ourselves. Arrogantly, we believe that we can handle the rest without him, and that the little stuff is too insignificant to bother God with. He's God. He's got better things to do than listen to a little girl's request for a pony or a middle-aged man's desire to kill a deer. This, though, is the voice of unbelief. It's the raspy whisper of Satan in your ear. For Satan does not want you to make your requests to God. He wants you to believe that God doesn't desire them or want them. He wants you to say to God, I know you love me, but come on. It only goes so far. Why should you care about this? God wants you. He wants your words, your wants, your needs. He wants you to lay them all out before Him. You don't need to weed out the good things to ask for from the bad. You don't get to judge what the Lord wants to give. Ask for it all, and He will give you all that you need. We dare not pick and choose what is important enough for God to care about. He is love eternal. He has loved you from before the foundation of the world. He has said, when you pray, say, Our Father. Rejoice, beloved, that the Lord has begotten you. He has washed you in the waters of your baptism, and you are His own child. You may call Christ your brother, and His Father is your Father. Your Father wants you to ask Him all things. He rejoices to keep the promises that He has made to you in Christ. Christ has prayed with the same boldness that He invites you to. Sweating blood, He prayed in Gethsemane, "Let this cup pass from me." It was an outrageous request. It was a request that if it had been granted, would have condemned the whole world. But Jesus also prayed that His Father's will be done. He prayed it in simple confidence that even though it would mean His death on that wooden cross, that the Father's good and gracious will for Him would lead to His being raised up on Easter morning. Jesus took the cup of death in a death grip, and He drained it to the dregs on the cross. He suffered all of the punishment that your unbelief deserves. And now, at the right hand of the Father, Christ prays for you. He gathers up all your requests, and as the holy, blameless, eternal Son of God, He intercedes for you. He loves you. He never ceases to be your perfect go-between. He never faints from making outrageous requests on your behalf. And He won't quit. His greatest and most outrageous prayer for you is the one that He has already accomplished. He desires your salvation. You in heaven for eternity with Him. He has bought you with His holy, precious blood and His innocent suffering and death. You have nothing to fear from a God like this. There's nothing you can pray that will change His love for you, and there's no request that He is unwilling to hear. So speak, dear Christian. Ask, seek, knock, for your Savior is listening. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.